The views expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Okay, I did it. I did it. I'm the dead air. Well, good afternoon. It's a technical problem, broke down. I'll do better next time. Good afternoon. This is Richard Quigley. We are doing the midday news at noon, KSCO 1080. Call-in numbers 479-1080, 477-1340. If I start talking about something you think needs a little input, or you got something you want to talk about, give us a call. I'm going to start off with a few just slight observations today, and then I do have a subject of interest I hope to everyone to discuss. First thing is, I don't know if anybody noticed or not. Apparently, not too many. That we are now short one more liberal talk show host. Phil Donahue was canceled by MSNBC on Tuesday. So he's no longer out there feeding all that negative jive to everybody. Columnist Ann Coulter had an interesting response discussing liberal talk show hosts. To be sure, she says, conservative radio talk show hosts have a built-in audience unavailable to liberals, people driving cars to some sort of job, she writes. It's difficult to imagine a world, she says, in which people voluntarily choose to listen to liberals. There is no evidence that it has ever happened. Maybe Ms. Culver needs to come to Santa Cruz sometime. And, of course, then Wall Street Journal had to top with listening to liberals do talk show can be a weird out-of-culture experience, like seeing Pat Boone going through his heavy metal phase. You guys remember that, don't you? Great stuff. The war on bongs, I guess Tommy Chong finally got himself in a bunch of trouble. They're running around closing down his stores and stealing all his bongs. There's quite a bit of comment out on the internet about that. One of the things that I thought I'd bring to the table is the gentleman who writes the article talks about the fact he didn't know anybody that was ever killed by a dirty bong, but he's pretty sure there's going to be thousands killed by dirty bombs. I think that the move by the state to move into Watsonville with fluoride deserves mention. I don't have the information that I need to make a show of it. I think this issue has really been discussed to death, which is how we got the proposition down there that shut it down from the city of Watsonville, and now we have the state coming in. And for you folks who don't realize that, that's that never-ending pressure by the United Nations for us to shut up and get in line. I don't know that I particularly want anybody treating me medically through the water supply. Bill Lockyer is supposed to have said that state takes precedence over local ordinances and findings and so on, and I question that report. That came from the Sentinel, that particular observation. I'm not sure how right that is. It's like with most things that are attributed to the courts and people that speak in terms of law, like attorney generals and the like, I think a lot of it depends on if we know the question that was asked. And in this case, we don't know what was asked, so I'm not real sure about his answer, because I don't think that Bill Lockyer is the kind of man. I've met him, talked with him, worked with him over the years, and I don't think he's the kind of guy that would disregard the sovereignty of the county or the individual. But today, my meat topic, this is, you're listening to the Midday News at Noon, KSCO 1080, 8 a.m., calling numbers 479-1080, 477-1340. I'm Richard Quigley. They let me come in here on Thursdays and do this. Thank you, Michael. And this today is going to be the latest chapter in my ongoing discussions with the County Board of Supervisors on trying to get them to attend an agenda item that I think might be of some importance to. Hello? Did I just fall? No, I can't. All right, anyway, agenda items that might be of importance to the members of this community, hopefully. What it was is I sent a letter to the board a couple weeks ago. I found out that they were keeping secret files on me down there at the county building. And in the sheriff's office, internal affairs. And it came about through this Pinto case. I think you folks will remember. I've talked that one over a bit, where we had a cop who was the sole source of the evidence against Mr. Pinto, who my personal experience with indicated that the man is not a credible witness in any forum. Anyway, during the course of trying to find out what he was all about, they asked to see or review his internal affairs files, and they didn't find anything. And when they did find it, the revelation was they found it in a folder with my name on it, which makes me a rather exclusive club, I would think. Probably the first one that's ever had an internal affairs folder at the sheriff's office. In any case, I've been wanting to see what was in that file, and they're fighting me on it. So while I'm conducting that battle with county council and the county administrator, I wrote a separate letter to the board and asked them if I could get on the agenda in a public forum and bring the evidence that the county's keeping secret files on selected residents in the county. And the reactions I got were rather telling. Oh, I got a call coming in. We're going to pick this story up in a minute. Nick over in Watsonville, I think, wants to talk to us about the putting the fluoride in water over there. Nick, are you around? Hello, Nick?
Hello?
Yeah, there you are.
Hello, Mr. Quigley.
I'm assuming it. Now, Richard, please.
Okay.
Mr. usually comes in just before the bad news. We don't want to do that.
Okay,
anyway,
Richard.
I was looking at this email that I got about them the state trying to push that fluoride down people's throats over in Watsonville. And you know, somewhere along the line, I think folks are going to have to learn that once these dogs start down this ditch, they're just going to keep going. These people that want to impose on our lives are relentless. They're just relentless. And I think, no, I can't even guess what motivates them. But what's your perspective on what's going on down there, Nick?
Well, the citizens of Watsonville passed a measure, and we set a couple of guidelines on any substance that was going to be stuck in our water for a health claim. So, for example, if they want to put, like, fluoride in to take care of tooth decay, then we set two criteria for them. Now, all of a sudden, the state's coming in here and telling us that we have to fluoridate with disregarding the initiative that we passed. So the state's coming in and doing this bully tactic and threatening to fine the city $200 a day unless the city complies.
Yeah, it's you know, it's something, again, when this thing was on the ballot, as I remember, there was a lot of airtime given to it. And I don't consider it a unimportant topic in any way. I'm not really prepared to do a good job of hosting the discussion today, but I think it's important that you point out that they're coming, and I'm wondering, is there any meetings, or are you guys trying to put together some sort of a group over there in Watsonville that will try to pull this apart without having to go to court?
Well, we've got a pretty strong group of people here. Really, the issue is now the rights of a charter city. That's really what it's come down to.
Okay, well, why don't we do this just to keep the show on the track I was sort of prepared to do today? Would you give out a number or a location or something that people can get in touch that are supportive of trying to keep that everything square the way it's supposed to be? And you and I will talk some other time about maybe get some airtime.
Sure.
In the future. So is there a way to get a hold of that group that's together?
Sure, they can call me. I'm actually the spokesman of the group. I was the spokesman even during the election.
That's terrific. What, and your number?
It's the 831-728-5000. 5640.
And Nick, what we can give your last name, right?
It's Bulaich.
Okay.
Bulaich.
Okay, Nick. I hope that gets you some calls, and I really will. We'll get together and see if there's something that I think we can bring from the show, and if we can, by God, we'll get together and do it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Richard.
You bet. I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay. You're listening to Richard Quigley. I'm on the air at the New Time News at noon, at KSCO AM 1080. Our call-in numbers are 479-1080, 477-1340. I'm going to jump back on track to Board of Supervisors. And how you get on to see those guys. This was real interesting to me because when I first started talking about getting on the agenda to talk to them, somebody told me that there wasn't much chance that was going to happen, and I wanted to know why. And he says, well, do you know what the criteria is? And I says, no, I don't. And I don't know if you, any of you folks out there know how to get an item on the agenda that is separate from what it is that I'm about to tell you I've discovered, then please don't hesitate to give us a call, because I'm looking for the answer to that question, because the only one that I can find looks pretty ugly to me. I got a letter back from two people when I wrote to ask to get on the agenda. One of them came from the supervisor from my district, Ellen Peary, I think is her name, and she misstated my case and indicated that she thought I had written to talk about the secret file that they have on me, which is no, that's not what I wrote to her about. That's what I'm dealing with county administration and county council about. I wanted to talk to the board about the fact that they have secret files on who knows how many residents of this county, and what's in those secret files, and why are they being kept there, and why are they being kept secret. I can't believe that they're for our good, which is why the government's supposed to be there. So, I'm really at a loss to know why they're being kept. And, of course, the evidence that I have that they have these files on many residents is because they have one on me. And there's nothing about my life that is spectacular enough to call for this kind of law enforcement attention, that they would actually create a file heretofore unheard of in internal affairs on a citizen. So it's got to be pretty much a common practice. And the harder they fight to keep this in front of the board, the harder they're fighting to keep it from in front of you. In fact, when Ms. Peary turned me down for an appearance in public on the agenda at the board, she did offer me a private meeting in her office. And I was very uncomfortable accepting that offer because we're talking about public business. The right of the people of Santa Cruz County to be free of concerns that the government is keeping information on them stored in files to their detriment that are not there as a matter of law. In other words, there's no legal authority to allow them to do this. They want me to come back and prove that they don't have the right to do it. And I'm sitting there saying, excuse me, my rights are established. Your right to act against them is what needs to be established. I'm already the free and natural person talked about in Article 1, Section 1 of the California Constitution. I don't need to keep going back and proving that. If they want to keep secret files on me, they could show me the legal authority for it. And if they want to keep secret files on you, they can show you the legal authority. But what I'm asking the Board of Supervisors to do is do the responsible thing and address this issue in the public eye as an agenda item so that you folks will have, when they're done, the assurance of knowing that if they're going to keep secret files on you, it will be with the blessing of the Board of Supervisors, which means it will be with the blessing of the people, and it will be done in accordance with the law. And if they cannot provide you that kind of security, then I suggest that you need to take a look at a whole lot more than just their more recent pay raise. I mean, it might be time to ask these folks to go on home. What are they doing? And the most amazing part is when I got to the part where we're talking about how do you get on the agenda, they give me copy of their policy for that. And get this. This is right straight out of their policy, that the public must submit requests for items to be included in the board's agenda either to the supervisor of the district involved or the chairperson of the Board of Supervisors. And then it says placement of such items on the board's agenda is at the supervisor's or chairman's discretion. Now, that doesn't say that, that we have a point system, and if you have, you know, demonstrated a public need, you have, you know, it deals with matters that can only be handled by the board, any sort of objective criteria, then we wouldn't have to be worried about whether or not this system is corrupt. But when we're talking about whether or not an agenda item, something that they can vote on, make a decision that will infect our lives into the future, how we get that matter in front of them comes down to the discretion. Just balls. Well, now we're talking about how much. I mean, I want to go back to Ms. Peary and say, okay, if you can't find personal justification or political justification for getting this item on the agenda, then how much? Maybe there's enough people out there who will donate the money to do whatever the monetary criteria would be. You understand? Because when you're talking about bare discretion, you're not talking about legal anymore. Now you're talking about power being used without any sort of guidelines whatsoever. Nobody to answer to. If it's their own discretion, how can you tell them that they're wrong not to do something? So they're operating without these guidelines. This is the essence of corruption. This is how we end up being slaves to the servants. And these are the types of things that I keep coming in here and want to talk to you folks about. And this is another chapter in that book. The phone number's here. This is the Midday News at noon at KSCO 1080 AM radio, Santa Cruz, California. Call-in numbers are 831-479-1080, 477-1340. I'm Richard Quigley. I get to host these shows on Thursday for a while. We're going to take a break right now and listen to some commercial. Oh.
Hi, I'm Stella Doro, here to tell you about Severino's February Music Challenge. Ralston Brown and his amazing jazz divas are there every Thursday night. Saddle Up and Boogie starts off the month February 1st, that Saturday.
For great food and fun, Severino's.
Stella by Barlight will be there Saturday, February 8th. That's me, folks, and I'll be there again on the 28th, Friday night. Something new, Kagon line dance lessons with country music, Art Severino's February 7th. Friday, Motown Express on February 14th and February 15th. That's our Valentine's weekend special. Wally's Cocktail Combo comes swinging in Friday, February 21st. Alligator Bayou Boogies at Severino's on Saturday, February 22nd. Woo, sounds like fun. Hope to see you at Severino's.
Attention, sports fans, listen up.
Hey, hello, listeners. This is Wendy R. here at your Sports Goddess at KSCO AM 1080. And this Sunday, March 2nd, there'll be a fundraiser at the 1007 Bar and Smoking Parlor in Santa Cruz to send Ultimate Fighter Dennis Ash to Brazil for 6 weeks to train with Brazilian legend Elio Grassi in preparation for the U.S. team in the Pan Am Games. Dennis has thus far taken home the gold in both first American Jiu-Jitsu Championships and the SoCal Summer Open in August 2002. Interested sponsors and fans can meet Dennis and me between 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. this Sunday. That's the 1007 Bar and Smoking Parlor, 1007 SoCal Drive between Barranca 40 and Seabright. Come show your support for Team USA.
Do you have the nudity?
What do you mean, do I have the nudity?
What do you mean, does she have the nudity?
Is she of the nude? I mean, would you be of the nudity if...
Would you speak English, please? I don't know what the nudity is.
Listen to Phil Hendry.
They have phases of dink nudity, and I've entered phase three. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm talking about the full regalia.
Seeing a woman's vagina is what...
Phase four nakedity is when you get to do that. And I'm looking forward to it.
Phil Hendry. 4 to 7 weekdays. KSCO Santa Cruz.
Okay. Here we go into the rest of it. I just looked up and I see that Ben has decided to grace us from Salinas. And Ben, you say you have an answer to my question today.
Yes, Richard. It should be very scary to all Americans, the fact that they can keep secret files. But you do know that under this new Homeland Gestapo Act, that act takes precedence over your federal and your state civil rights. You do know that, don't you?
Well, yeah, and you know that the one reason that I'm not really worried about, well, I am worried about that. But the one thing that I'm dealing with here is that this is apparently done some number of years ago before we got into that.
Yeah, but you do know that under the Patriot Act, especially the Patriot Act 2, you have only to be accused of terrorism, and they can do it. They can suspend your citizenship, and you're on your way to that secret court and that secret jail without access to an attorney.
I understand.
And also, before I leave, is what they're doing in Watsonville. They're also trying to do through the grand jury here in Monterey County with that fluoride. They're cramming that stuff down our throat. And the grand jury has done the advocacy here in Monterey County, and they're trying to do it to Cal-Am. And also, there's a court that has ruled that you no longer have the right to bear your weapons, which suspends your Second Amendment rights.
Yeah.
So if you people think that we're not losing our freedoms, what recourse do you have when they take away your right to bear arms,
Ben,
and come and kick down
Ben,
your door?
Ben, we can't do the box today. I appreciate the call, and I'll talk to you next time around.
Thank you, sir.
Anyway, I'm sorry, this is Richard Quigley. You're listening to the KSCO Midday News at Noon. Call-in number is 479-1080, 477-1340. I said I was going to make this a rant about Lucille Ball, and I am. These corrupt things that happen in government, this corruption in government, you know, I pound on the importance of truth in our government. How our freedom is, depends on it, how it is that this system is set up to operate, relying on people of good conscience to act honorably in our interest, and how and when all that stuff breaks down. And over the years, I've found some points that I can indicate. I can actually stand back and put my finger that direction and say, yeah, that's one of them. And of those, probably the worst offender and the biggest promoter of lies in the history of this country. And I think one of the reasons for for what many of us perceive as the moral decay of our society is Lucille Ball's I Love Lucy. And this came to me years ago when I was a dad and had kids. Television was quite a phenomenon when it first came in. Those that were around in those days remember all of that, and that fascination sort of passed on to my generation's kids. Now I'm pushing 60 real hard, so we're talking about a guy that grew up in the 50s whose children grew up in the 70s and 80s. And we were growing up, we had all kinds of interesting role model television shows to watch, and television, like I say, it was new, so we all got into it. We actually watched it show up. I mean, one day there wasn't television, and then suddenly there was television during the course of a lifetime. And for the younger people that are listening to this, you can't relate to that, but there really was a time, you know, even before radio. And in any case, we had some real inspirational stuff that we used to see as young people on television, and we had all these positive role models. And then somewhere around the late 50s, early 60s, showed up this character, this Lucille Ball with I Love Lucy, and she was married to this Cuban guy, and he was a band leader, and he was a wonderful guy, and life was just great, except this woman had this absolute passion for deception. Every show had to do, the moral of the show would be the lie that gets you in trouble, there's just another one right behind it that will get you out. And like I say, the way I spotted this is I was dealing with the fact that my kids were getting to the age in communication where they were trying experiments with one thing and another. And one of the experiments they were trying to run by the old man was to see if they could steal the truth from me. And I'd catch them in their little fibs and stuff, and I'd explain to them the value of truth. And I'd try to establish the importance of maintaining credibility, especially with me, because, you know, near as I could tell, they were going to spend the rest of their life dealing with me as their father figure, which has proven to be the case. In any case, while I was trying to figure out, analyze where they could have learned this behavior, because I knew that it didn't exist between me and my wife, and I knew that it didn't exist between me and my parents or others. So I couldn't figure out where they were getting this tendency to want to tell stories. And I thought, well, maybe school or whatever. And in the course of the day, I saw the kids interacting, and one of them made a gesture, a particular physical mannerism that she exhibited that I immediately overlaid that on a Lucy show that I'd seen and realized that my kids were watching I Love Lucy. And they were taking the moral lessons of that show into their lives as 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids. And I'm thinking, well, my God, you know, that's got to stop. And, of course, we had a little sit-down and talk, and then I explained the nature of that whole thing, and we didn't run Lucy anymore. But in all the years that I have lived since and just been amazed at the tributes that people want to pay her and all the amazing things that they have to say about that woman, I do, because of how she impacted this nation at a time when television was literally the mind-building process for an entire generation. Here was this woman throwing this lack of morality out there as everyday stuff, just piling one immoral act on the other. And so for all of those of you that have been I Love Lucy fans for 100 years, I apologize for hitting your sensitivities, but I despise the woman. I despise the lies that she brought to the mix. And so that's my rant on Lucille Ball. You're listening to KSCO Talk Radio. It is talk radio, which means I do half of it, you do the rest. And call-in numbers are 477-1340. I've got a minute here, so I'm going to talk about what we got coming next week. I'm putting together some audio tapes that I've accumulated over the years from various situations that I've run into. For you folks that don't understand my passion against bad cops, it runs pretty deep. It's out of dedication to the good ones that it runs so deep. I've expressed that many times, and I feel the need to make it clear that one of the most important elements in our social structure are good cops. And we have absolutely no need whatever for the bad ones. Anyway, I'm pulling some of these audio files that I have of some bad police encounters that I'm going to bring in and talk about next week if nobody finds a way to stop me. And there'll be some warnings going out with a couple of them. And we'll investigate the kind of sheriff that we have and the kind of people that he surrounds himself with. And I will do another one of those shows. And those of you that have been through this before with me, you'll start to begin to understand my motivation for what I do. I hooked one. It looks like Rich over in Santa Cruz is going to take exception to my I Love Lucy thing. Rich, are you around? Hello.
Yeah, no, I'm not taking exception to what you said. I just wanted to see if you could say specifically what you didn't like about the show.
Oh, no. She was forever lying to Ricky. She was sneaking in here. She would buy things and hide them. I mean, the comedy was supposed to be her perpetual deception of her family and friends, if you think about it. And then it would be all the cover-up. First you do the lie, and then you do the cover-up. But there was never a moral lesson. She was just always forgiven, and, oh, that's just Lucy, and away we go. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In Father Knows Best, for example, you know, one of the kids would be caught in a lie. They would have to sit down and talk with Father, and they'd discuss the whole thing. And when you were done, you'd be clear that lies are the theft of a valuable truth, and you didn't do that to people that you care about, and you don't do that to people that you work for. You know what I mean, Rich?
Yeah, I think we've come a long way since I Love Lucy. I think we've gotten to the point where we're, recent years have been demeaning the male figure in the family, you know.
Oh, yeah, the bashing of yeah.
He's a big buffoon now, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. And our advertising is just inundated with it, and And for some reason, you know, men are afraid to stand up and be men. And it's that I suspect I know where it comes from. I don't want to go there. You know, there's only so far I can let people into my mind. Otherwise, they wig out, you know. But
give us a try.
Well, our mothers needed to spend a little bit more time letting our dads, you know, raise us. And I'm not talking so much about our generation. I think it's the ones behind us. I'm most disappointed in what our children's generation did, but I take absolute responsibility for being a part of the generation that set it up. And so, come on. There was a level of caring that you had about family that was based on the way the family operated. It was because mom cooked and washed the dishes, and it was because dad picked up the mail, the lunchbox, and went to work. It was because of those roles and the way that they supported the young person's life that we had respect for them and had cause to have respect for them. And then for some reason, somewhere, we became this competition between mom and dad, and it was no longer the... do you remember the story, Rich, of the man and woman who changed places, and the man went out, stayed home and tried to do the house, and the woman went to work? Because this was a common story they told when I was a young man. And, of course, the woman failed at the work, and the man failed at the home, and when they both went back to doing what they were... quote, suited to. And now everybody sees that as this terrible, evil concept. How dare you go back to that? Well, excuse me, but when we lived there, truth had value. Honor had a role. You know, we had different lives, and I think better lives.
Yeah, I think if we mentioned that these roles of men and women used to have, we mentioned that in this day and time, and people just laugh at you.
Oh, laugh! They. It is worse than that. They will damn you for bringing it up. And yet, we have a nation without values today. We have no values. We have nothing that we are prepared to stand up for except empty rhetoric that leads us nowhere. And I'm sorry. I'm getting at the edge, passionate. I hate to do that on the radio, but we are a nation that if we exercise the highest morals, we will have the most freedom. And if we're not prepared to stand up and insist on freedom and truth and honor, then we deserve what we live in instead. But our kids don't. We can't even, you know, say, okay, I'll take the punishment, because our kids are the ones that suffer. I'm sorry, I got the phones lit up, Rich. Thanks much for firing me up. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Okay, my friend. Okay, on line two, I think I got Mark.
Hey, Mr. Richard Quigley, I, for one, would just like to say thank you.
Oh.
It's a rare pleasure to hear someone so full of common sense as yourself. And I just wanted to thank you for being on the air, and I hope to hear more from you.
Well, Mark, I don't know who you are or where you came from, but I thank you very much. And I don't know about that common sense thing. You know, there's a judge down there by the name of Arthur Denner that thinks I don't have any. And so I have an official ruling from the court. You think maybe I should move away from that?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I can help you get him straightened out. Maybe I can straighten him out on my own. I've had a bump in with him here or there.
Well,
but anyway, just keep up the good work. And like I say, I hope to hear more from you.
Okay, Mark. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Oh, you bet. And speaking of who he wants me to hear more of, this is Richard Quigley. I'm winging it through the midday news at noon here at KSCO, AM 1080. The call-in numbers are 479-1080, 477-1340. I'm enjoying the show today a lot. I don't know what it is about the energy. I got a feeling that you callers out there are just sending this combined positive thing, but I'm feeling real good today. To get back to my board supervisors thing, I really am serious about how to get on the agenda over there, and I am going to pursue this secret files thing. And by the way, just so that you'll be aware, I don't know that I necessarily believe that there are thousands of secret files being kept down there. I don't know that I'm necessarily concerned that there's more than just mine. As much as I'm concerned about the fact that there's no way to address it. That's what sticks with me. It's like, all right, say that I am all full of baloney. Okay, but say I'm not. If I'm not, full of it, and if there is a legitimate reason to be concerned about this, and if these things are actually happening, why is there no device in place to protect your freedom, folks? You pay a lot of money for this government. I mean, I sit here and I watch these people that make as much money a day as, I mean, we used to see times when I was a young man where a year's salary for one of these people a month's salary for one of these people on the board of supervisors would be a year's salary for the family. And we all did quite well. Now, I realize that inflation and all has taken the value out of the dollar, but my goodness, you know, we pay these people a lot of money. They should open the doors for us when we come with a concern. If there is no merit to my concern about this file, then let's just be done with it, get it done and gone. And there is absolutely no way. They have constructed a stone wall that is so tall and so thick that it would take an obsessed madman to get through or over it, and they are going to insist that I go there in order to get it to happen. Just sit there and keep knocking at the door and keep writing letters and keep making phone calls and keep coming back. And it's what part of this do any of you folks out there want them to do? How many of you really do see them as earning their money by not responding to the needs of any person with a reasonable, I'm talking about, you know, reasonable by any standard concern? It doesn't take that long if there's no concern about these secret files. If there's nothing in there that shouldn't be in there, why don't they let me see them? And if there's stuff in there that's not true and they're basing their decisions on how they deal with me, or if there's stuff in your file that's not true and they use that to base their decisions on how they deal with you, why don't we have a right to go down and challenge that information? But we can't challenge it if we don't know what it is, and we won't know what it is if they won't tell us, and not even tell us why they won't tell us. And it's amazing. I mean, this thing has gotten to the point that I wrote to them and talked to them about these files, and they write back to me and tell me that my questions have already been answered, as if that were a true statement. But they write it down. Oh, you've already been told all this, but we're going to reiterate that we did not do an internal affairs investigation on you. Well, it never occurred to me that they did an internal affairs investigation on me. I don't work for the sheriff's office. It never occurred to me that they might have until they denied it. And then it's like, well, I'd be a fool not to pay attention to that. Now I want to know about that one too. And then the next paragraph, they point out that they got two folders down there with my name on them. They're attached to another folder that's related to something else. And wait a minute. I thought I had one folder, and now I find out I got two folders, but they're attached to another file. And then the next sentence is that some judge, the court, has ordered the sheriff's office to maintain these files. And I'm sitting there looking at this, and I'm saying, well, damn, we get a whole bunch of action against me. Where was my day in court to my right to privacy? I have a right to privacy. You know, we all have a right to a reasonable expectation of privacy. This ain't it. So I'm sitting here looking at all this and just absolutely amazed. I want to sit there and work it out, and I'll keep you guys apprised as I write the next letter or talk to the next bureaucrat. Is that Janie from Aptos giving me a call? Hello, Janie. Are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Quig.
Janie.
Good show. It's so important to keep the fire on the supervisors, because they're the ones that are implementing all the regulations now. I wonder if I have a file.
Well, anybody in this county that has heard this show has got to understand that I am not involved in any criminal activity whatsoever. Mm-hmm. My only detectable behavior is to, I do not accept unacceptable behavior from bureaucrats. I file complaints against lying cops, and I write letters to insulting bureaucrats. So if they have done anything similar, they can fully expect that they have a secret file being kept on them. And so, yeah, there's every reason to think that you would have a file, Jeannie. There's no reason for you not to.
Well, for 2 years, I've been saying to the supervisors, because of implementation of Measure C in Agenda 21, there's no response from them, although I hear by the grapevine that I'm driving them crazy, And I hope I am, because what they're doing now is they're putting regulations on private properties, and they are actually taking our freedoms away. It was interesting, Quig. I went yesterday to the all-day Chamber of Commerce of Santa Cruz Technology Symposium.
Yeah, I was down there, too. By the way, you ran out of time, but go ahead.
Okay. And the law enforcement, they brought up their new technology, and how they bought it was through assets that were forfeited. But head of the high crime unit, computer unit, was Hartzner. And I only almost fell off my chair, because I consider him one of the dirtiest cops in Santa Cruz County.
Well, as you know, the show I'm talking about, where we're going to be playing some audio tape, is going to deal with Mr. Sergeant Hartzner.
Very good.
Straight up.
Yep.
So I'll let you go. Gina,
great,
thanks
show.
A million for the call. Love that woman. Okay, well, we are winding down here. A couple things I want to be sure to do on a personal level. I think I get away with this. If I don't, then I'll get yelled at, and then I won't do it next week. I want to say hi to Bridget and Ron, because they are just sweethearts down there selling me tobacco. God bless them. And there's a young woman. There's going to be a loss today. Besides the fact that we lost Mr. Rogers this morning, which is a substantial loss, on a par with that or worse, is that there's a young lady that works at the Aptos Roasting Company who today is her last day. And Michelle, God love you, girl. You've been good to me for a long time. You've been good to the people in our community. We thank you much. This has been Richard Quigley. Midday News at Noon, KSCO Radio 1080. Thank you very much. Come back and give me a listen next week. Try and do the best you can from my moral ground.